Well, this is going to be the second time that I recorded this episode, and hopefully I don't hit delete again. And so that is how this episode has started. And so I recorded it the first time, and it was actually like a longer episode. It was like 24-ish minutes long, and I went to go rename it, and I hit delete. And so I was like, no. So hopefully there's a reason for that. And so we are going to go into round two of this podcast. And so welcome back to Fostering Faith. I am going to be your host, Tracy, and we are walking through the spiritual fruits. And I'm so glad that you're here today, because we're going to continue to walk through this journey and studying the fruit. We're already covered the first two. So we covered love, the root of every fruit, the one that fuels all others, joy, that deep gladness that doesn't depend on what's happening around you, but who's holding you. And this week, we're going to move on to the third piece. And I don't mean sitting on the porch, phone turned off kind of peace. I mean peace that doesn't make any sense. The kind that stays even when life feels upside down. This one hits home for a lot of us, I think, because peace is what we crave when everything else feels so chaotic. And then today we're going to unpack what real, lasting, Holy Spirit peace looks like, and how to live it, and how to hold on to it, even whenever the storms rage. And so Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control," as we have read the last 2 weeks. And notice peace comes right after joy. And that's not random, because joy is an inner celebration of God's presence, and the peace is a result of that presence. And so peace is what happens when joy of the Lord becomes your stability. Peace is what happens whenever you stop fighting for control and start resting in who He is. And let's be honest, pain can lead to peace. And so maybe that was a Freudian slip, but let's be honest. And so peace isn't natural for us. Our human nature is to fix, to prove, to defend, to plan, to worry. And the more we try to control things, the less peaceful we feel. And so when was the last time that you tried not to fix something, or to prove a point, or defend what you said, or to plan, you know, 6 months ahead of time? And when have you really stopped worrying? And so think about that. And so peace is one of those fruits that shows just how we need the Spirit's help, because you can't fake peace. You can fake calm, but peace is deeper than composure. It's what holds on when you have nothing else to hold on to. The source of peace. And Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep my perfect peace, the one whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The verse has been a lifeline for me so many seasons. It reminds me that peace is not something that we can manufacture. It's something that God keeps. And key words here are, "You will keep." That's active. God guards that. And when your mind stays focused on Him, He protects your peace like a soldier watching on the standby. The more I focus on God's character, the smaller my chaos feels. And so peace grows wherever trust lives. You can't have peace and distrust at the same time. One cancels the other. And when I'm anxious, it's usually because I've shifted my gaze off of God's faithfulness into my own fear. And so when was the last time that you took your eyes off Jesus? And so I can't help but think about the time that Peter got out and walked on the water, and he lost his footing because he paid attention to the storm and he lost his footing. And as soon as Jesus was so close, and he just reached up and then he grabbed him. But when was the last time that you felt anxious and you're like, "Okay, fix my focus. Peace doesn't mean that you're never afraid. It means that you trust God and it outweighs your fear. And so what does Jesus say about peace? In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, I to you, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This verse hits different whenever you realize what he said and when he said it. When did he say it? Right before the cross. His hours away from betrayal, mockery, and death. Yet he was talking about peace. That tells me something. Peace isn't the absence of pain. It's the presence of Jesus. And the world's version of peace is temporary. It's based on comfort and control, both which are very fragile. But Jesus's peace is permanent because it's based on who he is, not what we feel. That means even when everything's falling apart around you, peace doesn't have to. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." I love that word guard. For sports, you guard. For military, you guard. Peace doesn't just sit quietly. It protects. It stands at the door of your heart and says, "Fear, you don't have any room in here. Fear, you don't get to come in." When anxiety knocks, prayer answers. And peace is what happens in between. That's the kind of peace that doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It's supernatural. Sometimes God doesn't change the situation. He changes your spirit inside the situation. And that's what peace does. It shifts the atmosphere of our heart before it shifts the circumstances around you. And so I just can't help but whenever we're in situations, are we asking God to change the situations? Are we asking God to change our hearts of how we're perceiving the situation? And so whatever the situation may be, we're going to go through different things in our life. And are we praying the same prayers that we did 5, 10 years ago, 6 months ago? Are we praying those big, bold prayers? Because we have a track record with God and we know that he is good and we know that the last thing that we went through, he got us out of. So are we praying for situations to change? Or are we praying for transformation? And so, as you know, I was preparing this week, I came across a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, preached back in 1868. Called Christ Our Peace. And it's based out of Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace. Spurgeon said something that stopped me in my tracks whenever he wrote, "Christ himself is our peace. Not merely the giver of peace, but peace itself." And I love that because it's such a reminder that peace isn't a feeling we're chasing. It's not even something that we pray for God to send. It's the person of Jesus that we're called to abide in. And if you know me, you know me, and you know I love the word abide. When you really think about it, every time that you felt genuine peace, it wasn't because your situation got easier. It was because you felt the presence of him even closer. The peace that you're searching for is a person. The calm you crave is Christ himself. So if your heart feels restless today, don't go looking for peace somewhere out there. It's not on sale. You can't find it at Target. It's not on Amazon. But sit with the one who is peace. And the storm might still be loud, but whenever he speaks, everything is still. And one of my favorite pictures of peace is in Mark 4:35 through 41. Jesus and his disciples are crossing the sea and the storm hits really hard. Waves are crashing. The wind is howling. And Jesus is what? Like trying to like GPS where they're going and like, you know, like doing whatever. No, he's asleep. And they panic and yell, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And I can just imagine the look on his face because Jesus is savage and I just love him. And he gets up, rebukes the wind, It says, peace, be still. And everything goes silent. Now, here's what's powerful. The disciples had peace with them in the boat the whole time. But they didn't realize it. Does that sound familiar? How many times have we had the Prince of Peace in our situation, but yet we panicked anyway because we forgot who he was? Peace isn't the absence of the storm. It's the awareness of who's in your boat. And so we were, it's been several years ago, and my mom had bought me a book, Who's in the Lifeboat? And I was just like, ugh, I'm not going to read this book. And she was like so offended. She was like, you know, it's about God. And I thought that you would like it, but I wasn't like really, I'm not a fictional book reader. And it was such an engrossing book. I think it it's a guy that wrote The Stranger in the Lifeboat. The Stranger in the Lifeboat is what it's called. And it's the person that wrote it was The Five People That You Meet in Heaven. And this book is so engrossing. I encourage you to go read it. It's fictional. And I read the whole book in one night. And it is just, it's who's in your boat with you. And I just can't help but also think of like reminders and keep your opinions to yourself. But I like tattoos. And so like all the tattoos that I have are parts of my life and just remembrance of when I got it, why I got it. And I really do feel like I think the next one I'm going to have is like a little anchor or a little boat. Because we have to be reminded who's in our boat. And we make decisions sometimes that don't make no sense in the hurry, in the rush. And I have a cross on my right wrist. And it's I have to remember that he is my strength. I have a little dumbbell underneath of it because he is my strength. The cross is my strength. I am nothing apart from that cross. And it's just a daily reminder. No, he's at my right hand. He's right there with me. He's right there with me. He is my strength. He is my strength. I am weak. I cannot do this. And I'm just reminded that he is my strength. Without that cross, I am nothing. And so I really do feel like the next one is going to be like a little boat or a little anchor. And that way it just, it keeps reminding me, that he was asleep. And so holding on to peace in real life. So how do we actually live this out in our everyday, messy, busy, crazy schedules and our minds are overloaded? Here's a few things that I've learned. Protect your focus. Peace follows focus. And if your mind is always fixed on what's wrong, peace can't breathe. Start each day by remembering who God is before you look at what needs to be done. Before you even get out of bed, put your armor on. Tell him thank you for waking you up. And you had a conversation with him before you even started your day because you know as soon as you get up, you're on your phone, you're drinking coffee, you're getting kids ready, you're going to school, you're doing everything. And so before your day gets in your way, do what's important. Spend that time with God. Get your protein in, get a good workout in, go for a walk. Do what's important to you in the start of your day. And that way, nothing can get in your way. 2, pray before you plan. Prayer invites peace into your priorities. And sometimes we don't even need a new plan. We just need a new perspective. 3, practice gratitude. Peace and gratitude are best friends. The more thankful you are, the less room there is to worry to take root. And so we said this again and again and again on this podcast, gratitude attitude. And so, you know, going through your day and listing 5 things off that you're grateful for in the morning and do 5 things at night. A gratitude attitude will literally shift your perspective into being more positive and looking for the good versus looking for the negative. And so it changes depression. It changes your mindset. It changes all these different aspects. And if you're just looking at something that's so small, a cup of coffee, a roof over your head, cell phone, internet. I mean, all those things may sound supercilious, but you're grateful for them. And so let them know about that. Thank you. 4, be selective with what your input is. You can't live in peace if you're constantly surrounded by and consuming chaos. Filter what you read. Filter your scrolling. And filter what you're listening to. Guard your gates. What you listen to, what you feed into your mind, it can all take root. And so be very selective. You are not a garbage can. Your body is a temple, so it only deserves the best. And so make sure that you're paying attention to, and whatever you're reading, whatever you're scrolling, it should be bettering you. You should be reading books that encourage you. You should be that learn new skills. And listening and consuming things that are taking you towards your goal. 5, stay surrendered. Peace doesn't flow where control reigns. The tighter your grip, the more peace slips through those fingers. And so just think of like slime. And so it's solid, and then you grip it and you squeeze it and you squeeze it and you squeeze it, and it just kind of seeps out your fingers. And so always asking God, what am I holding on to tight for? What am I holding on? Where are my hands not open? What am I wanting you not to get a hold of? What am I holding on so tight? And so have him check your heart. He'll let you know, hey, you're not surrendered in your finances. You're not surrendered in your marriage. You're not surrendered in your parenting. You're not surrendered at that office. And so what are you surrendered for? What are you not surrendering? Why are you wanting to control that certain aspect? Why would you not trust him with that? And so I often think that whenever we don't surrender, it's because we're going to be let down. We're afraid that he's not going to do it the way that I want to. He's not doing it, you know, like I want to do it this way. And I mean, and we really have to remember that he's never been late. He's never been wrong. And whatever you are thinking about, his ways are greater. And so what don't you trust him with? What area? Ask him. He'll tell you. And so maybe you're listening today and thinking, Tracy, I don't feel peace right now at all. And I get that. But here's the truth. Peace isn't gone. It's just buried underneath the noise. And so sometimes peace isn't lost. It's just crowded. You might need a quiet your mind. You might need to get rid of the distractions long enough to hear God again. You can't lose something Jesus said he gave you, but you can drown it out with worry, busyness, and fear. What does the devil want? He wants you busy. He wants you worried. He wants you in all the places that you were never meant to be. He wants you to fear. What if? What if? He knows scripture better than you. And he'll take that and twist it just a little bit. Just a little bit to cause that worry. Just enough busyness that you forget to pray. Just a busyness. Oh, church is like, where's that at? I don't have time. I don't have time for that right now. Oh, he's going to love me anyway. Take a breath. Go back to what you know is true. God hasn't changed, and his peace hasn't either. And so remember, peace is a fruit, and it grows as it stayed connected to the Spirit. You don't strive for it. You stay in step with him, and it develops you naturally. Galatians 5 is clear. Peace isn't self-produced. You can't white-knuckle it. You cultivate it by walking with the Holy Spirit daily. That means the more time that you spend in God's word, the more reaction and time for reflection begins whenever you're in his presence. And when that happens, people notice. You start carrying peace into rooms that used to drain you. You respond calmly to situations that used to shake you. Because peace isn't something that you chase. It's something that you carry. And peace isn't internal, it's relational. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And that's not easy, but spiritual maturity shows up whenever you handle it with conflict. being a peacemaker doesn't mean you avoid truth or let people walk all over you. It means that you respond with grace and wisdom, even when others don't. Real peace isn't depending on everything that's fine. It's choosing not to let bitterness rule your heart. You can't control everyone else's actions, but you can control your atmosphere. You can choose peace even when others choose chaos. If you lead with any capacity at home, ministry, in business, your peace affects people around you. And when you carry peace, it sets a tone. It says, we trust God more than we fear outcomes. It calms storms, softens hearts, and opens space for the Spirit to work. And that's why Jesus called peacemakers blessed in Matthew 5:9. They bring heaven's calm into earth's tension. So every day, you'll have moments where you're either going to protect your peace or surrender it. You'll face interruptions, delays, misunderstandings, disappointments. But here's the truth. Peace is not the absence of those things. It's your response in the middle of them. When your heart starts to race and pause and whisper, Lord, you're in control. When your mind starts to spiral, say, God, I trust you. Peace grows every time you choose to trust over turmoil. And we were talking about that in class this weekend. And it was with every step, you're stronger. With every step, you're stronger. With every step, you're stronger. And so the kids, they thought that they could do 100 push-ups. And so a lot of them tried. I think the most that we had was 27 push-ups. But they came in not knowing that they could do that many. And so they left stronger because they tried. They did one after another, one after another, one after another. And so you get stronger as you keep going. And so let me remind you of this. Peace isn't a distant dream. It's a promise. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. That means that you're already there. You don't have to earn it. You just have to stay close enough to the giver to feel it. And when the storm rages, whenever you're tired, whenever you're overwhelmed, you're uncertain, hold this truth that your Savior who speaks peace to the wind is still speaking today. And we've got to keep our focus on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. And so in class this week, I had the kids go through a maze because we had to fix our eyes on Jesus. But whenever they started the maze, they couldn't see Jesus. And so we had to go through doors and we had to go under chains and we had to step over, corn, and we had all these different obstacles and we had to go through this maze. And as we had to go through all these things, we had a promise that we were going to find Jesus. And before class, I had taped a sign that said Jesus on a window that was, pretty far away, but they couldn't see it, but they just kept walking and they kept walking and they kept walking and they had to go. And they had to overcome these obstacles and they had to overcome these obstacles and they had to go through, what the devil was saying, what their friends were saying. They had to go under, and break, chains of what people had said about them in their past. And so they had to keep walking it. And as they walked, they got stronger. And so you may not realize it, but just one step makes you stronger. One step makes you stronger. And so as they walked through it, they were able to see him at the end of the race. And so we hope that this series is something that's inspiring you to open up scripture, to sit with God, to abide in him, to realize what he has already given you. And so as we close out this week, the fruits of the Spirit. And so remember that love is root. Love is in the root. Joy is the overflow. And peace is the stillness that follows trust. And so we would love to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these listeners. Thank you so much for our love, our joy, and our peace. Thank you that you were the same God that you were then, that you are today. Thank you that we can abide in you. Thank you that we can just sit with you. Thank you that we can be honest with you whenever we are struggling. Thank you that we do not have to have works But we have your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so until next week, we'll move into patience. And let's be honest, that one's going to be a challenge for all of us, because peace steadies us, but patience stretches us. And so until then, stay connected to the source. Don't chase calm. Choose Christ. He is your peace. Have a great week, guys. We love you.